We're at that stage where they'll hear you talk.
House Committee on Revenue for May 28th, 2015 will come to order. We're going to go out of order because there's some questions on House Bill 2734. So we'll open the work session on House Bill 2734 and let Representative Bentz and others ask their questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the concept was, or is, as I understand it, reading the title, it says authorizes the local government to, by ordinance or resolution, create a land bank authority as a municipal corporation. But my conversations with you and others suggest that there can't be any particularly close link, in fact, no link at all, between the municipal organization who might form this entity and the entity itself to avoid the alter ego difficulty right. That would make the municipality liable for the cleanup. Thus, there has to be a division, if you will, between the two. So the issue is, if we are going to at some point anticipate that the new organization enjoys some sort of tax benefit, as was in the bill but now has been taken out, what is the oversight authority of either anybody when it comes to what's going on inside this new corporation?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Randy Tucker. I'm Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro, appearing on behalf of the Brownfields Coalition. Not just on behalf of Metro. So let me try, but I also have one of our attorneys that's been active with our coalition here, Doug McCourt, who was not in the meeting with you yesterday, unfortunately. So my understanding of the alter ego issue is that it's, and you know, I'm not an attorney, let me just make that clear, and I do have a little memo that I think I sent you yesterday about it. There are a number of factors that would determine whether a local government is essentially creating an entity that they control, and therefore it wouldn't qualify as a separate entity legally that would then protect the local government's general fund, for instance, from liability, et cetera. It's not just one factor, and I don't know enough to answer your question precisely on a legal basis in terms of whether there's a bright line. I don't believe there is, but the variety of factors include whether the local government controls and has the ability to remove directors from the board, whether it let me see, I have a little memo right here, the level of involvement in approving the organization's rules, whether the local government could dissolve the board dissolve the entity, things like that. So there are several factors. No one of them, I don't think, is dispositive. I think your question is hypothetical about if there's a tax abatement or a tax property tax exemption mechanism created sometime in the future, which we
let me, if I may,
please. Sure. Yeah.
So here's what I'm interested in: that we pass this legislation, we create an entity that enjoys an exemption from liability for certain things.
Right.
It then, let's assume, accumulates different properties. It then asks that the law be amended to allow the abatement or whatever it special use assessment, whatever it turns out to be.
Right, right.
And so the state is, in essence, investing money into these properties in the form of a reduced tax at some point in the future. Now, the question...
Well, actually, may I interrupt?
Yeah, please.
No, the state would not be. That would be the local... It would be a local tax, a property tax mechanism we're talking about. We also had a bill, a separate bill, that provided for a tax credit.
I'm just assuming
right.
At some point there's some state money, local money, county money, some money in this thing that belonged to a public. The question I am asking is, who's in charge? Is the municipality, can I go to the city council or to Metro or somebody and say, hey, we're not happy with what this corporation is doing, and does that city have the ability to fire everybody, or more importantly, can we, as a group of government officials, say anything about what goes on inside this new corporation? Can I force them to show us all the books and records and everything else where the money came from? Can I force them to show the lease? Can you? That's the question.
Right. Go ahead.
Yes. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doug McCourt with the Ader Wynn Law Firm in Portland. So let's cut right to your question. Who's in charge? The local government is in charge of setting up the board. They also remain in charge of appointments. They remain in charge of dissolving the board.
No, that's... They don't remain in charge of appointments.
No. Well, the board takes over, but they can dissolve the board, and they can start a whole new corporation with brand new board members. Once the board is established, the board runs the land bank. So, to your question, if there are concerns that are raised about the use of public monies, those get addressed in two ways. Every expenditure that the local government makes has to be reported and audited under the municipal corporation audit requirements, and we've added a provision that all of the expenditures that relate to the real issue here, which is the cleanup costs, are both reported to DEQ, and the DEQ makes all of those reports public. So they get actually reported twice. I don't know if that satisfies your question, but essentially the local government establishes this, the board runs it, the local government can dissolve it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benz, there's also a provision that the authority has to provide an annual report to the governor, and additional information as required by the governor, the president of the Senate, or the speaker of the House of Representatives. So there's another reporting mechanism as well. That's on page 4 of the B engrossed bill at the top. I still feel like there's a piece of your question that we may not have answered. Okay. I think maybe the tax piece. So I believe you're proposing that we establish. A local government establishes a land bank. Later, we maybe pass the other piece of this bill that is being removed by the amendment that I'm going to describe, hopefully, today. So then the local government would have the authority to establish a property tax abatement or property tax exemption or special assessment program if such a bill were to pass in the future. And so then the local government would be able to provide that to an entity that is leasing property from the land bank. Is that the hypothetical that you're asking me about, or asking us about?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'm worried about is not the specific situation. I'm just going to state it in this fashion. We help in creating an opportunity for an entity to enjoy some liability from responsibility, some looking forward exemption from cleanup responsibility. How much, we can debate. And then at some point in the future, perhaps this entity enjoys some sort of government investment in the form of reduced taxes. Now, the question becomes, whatever this animal is that we've created because of its unusual relationship with its formative body, the municipality that formed the thing, are we in some way able to check to see what's happening to those state dollars? I didn't like the limitation on those spent only on cleanup. That seems odd. If this is a municipal organization, it would seem that everything they do would be open. Was that just an aside as what has to be reported? Is everything open to everybody when whatever goes on inside this quasi-municipal corporation is open to the public? Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct, Representative Benz. And every dime of public money that goes into this is audited and reported.
Also, Representative Benz, in the hearing that we had a week or two ago, Representative Barnhart asked a couple of questions about the status of this entity with respect to public meetings law and public records, and we did answer those questions to him, but I can answer them here. That the language in the bill cross-references to other language in existing statute so that this entity would be fully subject to public records law and public meeting law. So that is true. The other thing is to remember that the entity itself, the Land Bank Authority, and correct me if I'm wrong, Doug, the Land Bank Authority has that protection from liability, but I think we talked about this with you outside the room here. That anyone that leases property from that land bank authority does not enjoy that liability protection and does not enjoy exemption from taxes that the entity itself, the land bank authority, the public municipal corporation, would enjoy.
Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Is that helpful?
It is.
Yeah. I want to Representative Davis, please.
Thank you, Chair. Randy, thanks for your testimony. Thank you both. On that last point, you said the entity that might lease property does not enjoy the liability protection nor
Correct.
The tax protection. Now, I understand the tax piece, but isn't the point the liability protection? So what am I missing there? And maybe if you walk through a scenario, that might be easier.
Right. So let's, Representative Davis, let's just walk through a scenario. So a property gets acquired by the land bank. The only liability exemption that applies here is by virtue of their ownership. There are other ways that land bank can be liable under state and federal law if they contribute to contamination, if they make it worse, if they fail to report. There's a variety of ways under state law you can become liable. They are not exempt from those. It's only by mere virtue of their ownership to facilitate the redevelopment. Now, if it's leased or purchased, which is the goal here, the land bank takes property nobody wants, the market's not responding to, they get the cleanup going, and then that creates the spark for somebody to get interested in it. Those parties have to negotiate directly with the Department of Environmental Quality, either through a prospective purchaser agreement or some other mechanism, to obtain whatever liability protections they have. They don't run with the land, so to speak. So there is no public money essentially funding liability protections for any downstream party. They rest with the land bank.
Thank you. And follow up.
Go ahead, yeah.
And this is on a completely unrelated topic, but in the research I've been doing in the land banks elsewhere, I think there's about 120 or 150 in various jurisdictions around the country. I think there's around 10 states that authorize them, and there's about 150 land bank authorities. And they range from authorities that have a couple properties to those, I believe, in Pennsylvania that have – there's one county authority that has 11,000 properties in its inventory of that land bank. When I heard that, and I apologize for throwing this at you with no right. no background.
You know more than I do.
I don't know if we want to end up at a place where an entity like this is holding that many thousands of pieces of property. Maybe they're redeveloping some of them. But walk us through again the process by which a land bank might acquire. So how does it get the resources to acquire? It doesn't have the ability to foreclose property on its own or to receive foreclosed property, presumably. So where's the financing or the funding mechanism for that, for the land bank to actually receive property?
Sure. So, I'm sorry. Representative Davis. So let's take a hypothetical, and there could be a variety of sources. A local government could be a county, could be a special district. Anyone with condemnation authority could actually have foreclosed on a piece of property for back taxes for whatever reason. And that property, they don't have the resources to do anything with it. They work out so that the land bank can take that over. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one hypothetical. So it comes into the land bank through other exercise of appropriate foreclosure or, legal acquisition. It also could be they could apply for grants. They could seek other resources to actually obtain the property. They could enter into other types of arrangements where they don't even have to own the property, but they could take control of it to facilitate the cleanup and then move it down the road. So there's no restriction on how they actually have to get the property, but let's stick with the first hypothetical, the condemnation. The city condemns it, nobody wants it, and the land bank acquires it. The cleanup gets done, there is some interest in the property, and then it is either leased or sold and redeveloped. Now, did that answer your question?
I think so. I mean, follow up.
Yes, please.
Seems to me one hypothetical is a municipal, or it would be a county in this case, might do a tax foreclosure on a piece of property that's been abandoned. The county doesn't want to have liability for holding that piece of land, so it may just transfer it to the county authorized land bank in that instance.
Correct.
Multnomah County would frankly be probably at the top of that list for wanting to do that sort of thing. One follow up.
Yeah.
Could you walk through the amendment?
Yes. Before
not
I do that,
horse before the
I want to make sure I answered Representative Bentz correctly.
Well, and he has another question. Maybe we'll let him answer.
Okay.
I'm
going to ask Doug to help me out here. And it was on the question of whether an entity leasing a property from a land bank is exempt from liability or not.
So if I may put, Mr. Chair, finer point on it.
I think you need to go back to the
entity that we assist in creating today gets financing and builds a hotel, and it owns the hotel. The people come in and rent a room for the night. Are they liable?
Vice Chair, no. They wouldn't be liable because they have no basis for liability. They're neither an owner. They don't have any ownership of the rental of a room doesn't establish the bundle of sticks required under state law to become either an owner or an operator of that facility. And if there was some argument that somehow somebody renting a room could be have, you know, one stick of the bundle of ownership, then it comes to, well, what did you actually do? Even though our laws are strict liability, what they then move to is who did what. And, you know, unless there was evidence that that person or entity created a problem on the property, they're not responsible.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Why don't I walk through the amendment?
why don't we let Mazin do that?
Oh, okay.
First, and
that's
then
fine.
We'll hopefully be able to take some action. We'll see. We'll see whether we can.
Great.
Or not.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, the amendment, the B4 amendment, just primarily splits the bill. So the bill consists of two main issues: the tax piece and the land bank piece. The land bank comes first, and this is what has been discussed, and it's all the way that goes from the first page until about the three quarters of the way on the eighth page. Then comes the property tax abatement issue, and that's where you have the amendment on primarily saying on line 15, page 8 deletes that, and it deletes pages 9 through 12. And then it it aligns numbers of sections
at the end,
and so on. At the end.
So the effect of it is to remove the property tax abatement and make some minor changes
in
the rules about the way the board is set up and operates.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, it does basically two things. It eliminates entirely the whole property tax piece that was in the bill before, and that we didn't have the latest amendments when we had the hearing before, so we didn't really discuss it that much. It's just not ready for prime time in a variety of ways, and we're going to continue to talk about that. And if we make progress, you will hopefully hear from us again. But that's completely out of the bill, so we're only left with the land bank piece. And then we put term limits in to apply to the members of the board of the Land Bank Authority. That was in response to some comments that you made, Mr. Chair, in the hearing. We established a three-term limit, and that is three terms even if the first term is less than 4 years, just so that these people wouldn't be on here forever at their own at their own decision. So those are the main two elements of the amendment.
Thank you.
And that language is in the text of the amendment there, lines 3 through 11.
Representative Reed, will you do the honors? B4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the B4 amendments.
Representative Reed moves the B4 amendments to House Bill 2734. Is there further discussion? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Randy, as I recall from the base bill, that the land bank had the ability to levy taxes itself, to sustain itself. What's the sustaining mechanism financially for this?
No, I don't, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I don't think the land bank has the ability to levy taxes. It has the ability to issue revenue bonds. But the sustaining mechanism would be transactions in land and the like. So, or potentially support from a local government or grants or other ways that it can obtain revenue. But when we were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the issue of an extra, an additional layer of government, and I would argue that without the ability to tax or regulate, this is not what I would view as an additional layer of government.
Thank you. And of course, I think what you just described suggests to me that one of the sources of property might very well be the sheriff's a tax foreclosure.
It's possible.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions? Is there any objection to the -4? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Reed?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2734 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Reed moves House Bill 2734 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Representative Vance?
Thank you, Chair. And I've gone back and forth on this bill, and poor Randy knows that. I'll still be a no. Here's why. It is a really close call. The bill allows the creation of the entity that can then acquire the property and enjoy the non-liability for the cleanup. The ability to raise money through bonding will allow the entity to raise money sufficient to build stuff, something on it. it will then become in competition with whatever, whoever is operating a similar thing. And it's interesting because otherwise the property stays bare, and that's something we don't want. That's why I've gone back and forth on this bill. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I ask if we couldn't extend this type of freedom from liability to the private sector also, so that both could enjoy this opportunity to use the property, building hotels or whatever, so we didn't end up facilitating more government activity, in essence, competing with others, even if the goal is a good one, which is to clean things up. So that's why I'm going to be a no.
Okay.
Representative
Leininger.
I've gone back and forth on this too, but I'm actually going to be a yes coming out of, you know, to move it through committee. And one of the reasons why is that the jurisdictions I represent both support it. But when I think about the Blue Heron redevelopment deal, I can see an application where, you know, when that property that was in foreclosure was to be converted to a new use, and no one wanted it to just sit there forever. You know, one of the ideas that people thought about was acquisition and cleanup, so that the variable and uncertainty of risks associated with the fact it was a formal industrial site could be dealt with, and then it could be sold to someone, a private developer who would run it. I think one of the protections that was built in that I think is responsive to what you're talking about, Representative Bentz, is the local jurisdictions had no interest in holding it indefinitely off the property tax rolls. They wanted to actually, as quickly as possible, get it put back into practical use so it would generate revenue for property taxes. So, I mean, I think reasonable people can disagree on this, but I, thinking about that experience and the input I've gotten from my local jurisdictions, I'm going to be a yes.
Thank you. Others? Representative Woodson?
I'm a no also for some of the same reasons as Representative Bentz.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative Davis?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be a yes at this point because the coalition has done a significant amount of work on this. Frankly, they've made this into a much more modest proposal than it originally was. It's also much more modest than land banks that are operated in other states. It doesn't have many of the powers that those other states do. I think there are some cautionary tales out there. There's at least two land banks I know of that hold over 10,000 properties and reject many, many offers to purchase those properties. I surely hope we do not end up in a situation like that where we're simply transferring vacant, undeveloped properties from one government entity to another government entity. But there are examples of it being successful. I think that we've eliminated much of the financial risk in this situation, and for that reason, I'll support it for now.
Thank you. I think we better take a vote. The question is on the sending this bill to the floor with a do pass. Please call the roll.
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Leininger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt.
No.
Vice Chair Megan Peterson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Bentz.
No.
Chair Barnhart.
Aye. And with that, the motion carries. The bill goes to the floor. Representative Reed, will you carry?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill what are we on? 2734, and open the work session on House Bill 3246. We have an amendment. And colleagues, I recognize that we all have other places to be, so within the limits of time, let's see if we can work this bill. Kyle?
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3246, the committee has already heard the dash one, so what we have now is the dash twos. And the dash twos build upon the dash one, so they make there's three changes in the dash twos to the language in the dash one. The first change is, and just to back up, I guess just briefly, the overall scope of the House Bill 3246 is it's an establishing an exemption for qualifying new property or improvements to property that increase the energy efficiency or reduce greenhouse gas emissions of the property. So the first change in the dash two is a narrowing. Originally the dash one, this would apply to property within Multnomah County. The dash two changes this to within the city of Portland. Now the one distinction and to keep in mind there is the city of Portland does has slivers in Washington County and Clackamas counties as well. It's about half of 1% of the assessed value, so it's very tiny amounts, but it does cross over the border just slightly, and that would encompass, by making it to the city of Portland, it would encompass those areas that are in Washington and Clackamas counties.
The second change is in prescribing the forms. Originally, it was in the dash one, it's Department of Revenue that prescribing the forms. In the dash twos, it would be the county would be responsible for prescribing the forms for qualifying for the property tax exemption. And then the last change in the dash two is it's on page two of the bill, and it's two types of properties would not be allowed to receive the exemption. The first would be centrally assessed properties, and then also industrial property that's appraised by the Department of Revenue. So the sum of these changes do shrink the revenue impact a bit. That is reflected in the dash two revenue impact, and the fiscal is still no fiscal.
Great. So, Representative Vega Peterson?
I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3246.
Representative Vega Peterson moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 3246. Is there discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Vega Peterson?
I move House Bill 3246 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Vega Peterson moves House Bill 3246 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no on this, even though I understand the goals and they're laudable. I would just say that making this narrowly prescribed to one area is something I don't like to see. And then secondly, I believe there are any number of energy efficiency programs in place already, and this adds to quite a group of them. And there's some other things about it that I would rather see managed on a broader scale. In fact, we're engaged in some discussions in other venues about exactly that. So I'll be a no.
Thank you. Other? Yes, Representative Vega Peterson.
Yes. Well, I will be a yes on this. And I'm glad to see where we've gotten to with this in terms of being able to have this project going for 6 years to actually, you know, see what the impact is going to be on a limited area and in an area that has been asking for a program like this, so that we can really see, and really the policy here is that we have something energy efficiency improvements, which we are trying to incent people to do in a lot of different ways, and one of the negative impacts of doing that, one of the deterrents though, is the impact on the property taxes that you would have to pay to do that. And so this is really, you know, trying to address that problem and making sure that our incentives are doing what they need to do.
Thank you. Representative Leininger, please.
Thank you. I've gone back and forth on this bill also, but I'm actually going to be a yes coming out of committee in any event because of the effort that has been gone to really narrowly tailor this incentive to a really discrete area and test it out. I actually think that the idea of us testing on a small scale some of these innovations before we launch them statewide is a nice way to be cautious. And I did not get any opposition from any of the special taxing districts, the special districts, the school board, the education folks. So for all those reasons, I'm going to be a yes coming out of committee.
Thank you. Other discussion? I think we better take the roll on this one. Again, the motion now is on sending House Bill 3246 as amended to the floor.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Leininger?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith-Warner?
Aye.
Representative Whitson?
No.
Vice Chair Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Benz?
No.
Chair Barnhart?
Aye. And with that, the motion carries, and the bill goes to the floor. Representative Vega Peterson, will you carry?
Yes.
Representative Vega Peterson will carry. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3246. Thank you, colleagues. Committee is adjourned.
John.
See you soon. John.